Mantles is brought to you by Madrid Maintenance. Madrid Maintenance offers excellent handyman service in the Colorado Springs area, starting at just $45 an hour. You can reach them by phone at 719-963-2020 or online at facebook.com/Madrid Maintenance.
Enharmonic Studios. Enharmonic Studios is a hybrid digital analog facility designed to be quality and affordable to anyone who wants to make history. Call today, 719-963-2020, or go to facebook.com/Enharmonic Studios.
Welcome aboard, folks. We are very proud to share that your pilot is the most diverse pilot on record. She is a 3'2" transgender pansexual Native American man who identifies as a 6-foot-tall Korean woman. Any volunteers to help reach the controls are welcome. You will want to buckle up as her epilepsy is often triggered by the flashing lights in the cockpit. Remember to keep a whisper volume level as she may have to consult instructional videos as a refresher during the flight. Now, can we get a big cheer for diversity?
From Enharmonic Studios, streaming all over the world.
We're coming for you, globalist!
It's your weekly dose of toxic masculinity.
Toxic masculinity.
With Eric Madrid. And Trevor Lane. Smart Talk.
Hey, hey. Kind of lied to you there, because it's not live from Enharmonic Studios. It's not live at all, actually. It's pre-recorded. And Eric Madrid will not be here. It will just be me. Eric is working late for, how do you word it? He has a deadline to meet on a job, so I'm guessing probably tomorrow. A lot of people like to have their projects done by Friday. They do home improvement stuff. So that is what is happening. But that's okay. I'm here. I shall be your guide through all of the fun stuff that we will discuss this evening. And it should be good. A little bit more drama this week. Health-wise, I'm great. For those that are concerned, I appreciate it. On the health thing, just something weird, I guess. When I had my appendix surgery, they glued the little incisions back together with this stuff called Dermabond. I guess it's kind of like JB Weld for skin. But that stuff finally kind of sloughed off, which feels kind of weird. It kind of hurts a little when it comes off. And yeah, so now I guess my stitches are out. And then we had a rough week with pets. First we had to put our guinea pig to sleep, who was probably holding or close to setting a record for the oldest guinea pig in the world, nearly 7 years old. So he had a good run, but that's of course always rough and tough and sad. And then one of our rats died, rather unexpectedly. So, more sadness. Start with a bummer. Hopefully not too much of a bummer. anyways, we got a great show for you this evening, or I guess I have a great show for you. And here's what we're gonna do. Let me see. There we go. I'm flipping that because when I look over at my screen, I don't want to have it appear that I'm looking the wrong way. Just a little nicer for your view, I guess. Anyways, let's get into some new. Welcome to Moongata. The first underwear where the front pouch isn't one size fits all. Moongata offers four different pouch sizes, allowing proper support and superior comfort for an active lifestyle. This also provides a sexier appearance. Moongata is the closest thing to tailored, fitted underwear, without me sending one of these guys to your house. Owned and operated by a disabled veteran. Committed to making amazing men's underwear, forever cut and sewn in the USA. Carpe Noctem at Moongata Lifestyle. Use the code MANTOOLS for 20% off.
At Noble Gold Investments, we protect our clients' financial futures by giving them a safe and easy way to invest in a gold IRA and other precious metals. We carry gold, silver, palladium, and platinum. And unlike other gold companies, we emphasize the security of talking to a warm body who is an expert in this field at Noble Gold Investments. Visit our website.
gold.mantoolsmedia.com. News, shall we? All right, a number of interesting stories this week. Interesting, like, political and legislation things that are happening. We start with this unusual thing out of Oklahoma. Oklahoma, obviously, a pretty conservative place. But this takes the cake even for them. I mean, from what I understand in Oklahoma, it's the type of place where, from what I understand, all they have is 3-2 beer. With the exception of, I think I heard from somebody who lived there, they have Guinness, but it has to have like a warning label that it's strong. Okay. A little odd. So I guess this kind of isn't surprising coming from there, but it is it's a bit of an unusual story nonetheless. Oklahoma proposal would make watching porn a felony and would ban any sexting outside of marriage. Yeah. pretty puritanical, isn't it? excuse me. An Oklahoma state senator has proposed a law. Luckily, state senator, so this isn't going up in like the U.S. Senate or Congress. Has proposed a law that would make watching pornography a felony and ban sexting between people who are not married. The bill, set to be introduced next month by State Senator Dusty Reavers, Republican, obviously from, I guess Elgin is probably the county, would prohibit consuming or producing sexual content that, quote, lacks serious literacy, artistic, educational, political, or scientific purposes or value. So I guess anything where the only purpose is to depict sex would be a problem. The measure defines obscene material as a depiction or description of any acts or description. That's interesting. So if you sat there and just read like a dirty limerick, acts of sexual intercourse, including those that are normal or perverted, okay, actual or simulated, which I guess is important because, you know, obviously there'd be a loophole with kind of softcore porn, but they don't even want that. content depicting sodomy and masturbation would be off the table, in addition to videos, movies, video games, and text messages that involve sadomasochistic abuse and acts of excretion. So I guess cum shots. Under the measure, pictures of human genitals or women's breasts would also be banned, as well as lewd exhibition of the buttocks. it would carry prison sentences of up to a year and $2,000 fines. I wonder if that's per count. I wanted to get to the, where's the sexting problem? So this is the guy, which, look, I'm not gonna, oh, he's a Baptist pastor. So there you go. Let's see, married couples would be exempt, provided they only share the explicit content with each other. So I guess that's where the sexting is a possibility, because it did say in any medium. You guys, if you're familiar with the show, you know that I'm pretty much a libertarian with a small L, meaning not part of the Libertarian Party. So I find, look, I'm not going to beat around the bush. I think porn certainly can be. There are some that say it's automatically and inherently destructive, which they might be right. I don't know. But things that can be bad or harmful shouldn't be banned. Like, I mean, the big argument with like things like guns and drugs, I always used to when the question of whether or not marijuana should be legalized here in Colorado came up. Of course, I work in the federal government with a lot of veterans, which is a pretty conservative group. And obviously within that group, we're drug tested, so no one conceivably is using marijuana or other substances like that. But there's a, they have a very, if it's harmful, it should be banned. Well, you know, they point to all the harmful things that happen when you consume marijuana, which they're not necessarily wrong. I mean, you can have some ill effects from almost anything. But I would twist their argument around and replace the word marijuana or cannabis with the word gun, and suddenly it was, well, that's completely different. And it's like, well, it's still dangerous and it could harm somebody by your logic of banning harmful things. So this is pretty ridiculous. I would hope that something like this doesn't pass even in Oklahoma, but we'll see. The flip to that is, as a, like a kind of states' rights guy, that's what they want for their state, then go for it. I certainly wouldn't want it here in Colorado, but if something like that passed here, I wouldn't be like, we need to move or anything like that. I don't know. Very, very odd, very puritanical, very prudish thing to be bringing up in 2023, I think. Especially after, like, there have been court cases that have struck down obscenity laws, so I'm not really sure how this passes the constitutional smell test to anybody, but we'll see. And we'll keep you posted. Now on to Ohio with a bit of a some trans stuff. Sorry. I think we talked about this when it first happened. Maybe we didn't. I'm not sure. But Ohio recently passed a law that would ban transgender, or what are they, the word they try to slip in there, gender affirming care, as the Federalist rightly calls it, mutilation of children. It also, I believe this bill also included measures to prevent at least student athletes from competing outside of their birth sex, so that we don't have, say, boxing, where a man just goes in and gets to beat the shit out of a woman. That sort of thing. So, But the Senate there in Ohio, the state Senate, has overridden the veto that the governor did on that. Surprisingly, a Republican governor, too. Although it is, I think Ohio is fairly liberal. Anyways, let's take a look. The Ohio Senate executed the will of the majority of its constituents on Wednesday when it voted to override Governor Mike DeWine's veto of legislation that would end transgender child mutilation and ban men from invading women's sports in the Buckeye State. DeWine vetoed House Bill 68 in December of 23 under the guise that gender-confused kids will commit suicide without transgender mutilations, which we've talked about. The suicide rates are basically equal between people that receive so-called gender-affirming care and people that don't. So, to be honest, they're miserable because they are out of touch with fucking reality. And when you're out of touch with reality, reality will crush you, which is very sad, but that is what happens. Let's see. Or opposite sex hormones. He justified his stance with Democratic rhetoric fueled by junk science, unreliable surveys, and testimony from gender-crazed parents. This goes on to say, the governor's decision didn't sit well with his voters or the legislature, despite DeWine scrambling to sign a short-term executive order that only prohibited the mutilation. Both Republican-controlled state house and now the Senate voted to overrule his formal objection and ban the chemical and surgical mutilation of gender-confused children. So, I guess the bill was called the Save Adolescents from Experimentation Act. So it is now law, despite the governor's objections to it. All domestic this week. Meaning inside of the United States. Our next story takes us to California, where they are feeling the disastrous effects of their recent minimum wage hike. The surprise of no one. higher prices and layoffs will accompany the new statewide restaurant mandate, just as they would if Congress accedes to a national minimum wage hike. Residents in the Golden State are learning a basic yet painful lesson in economics. If you tax something, if tax is quite the right word. More accurate to say, if you make something cost more, you'll get less of it. That is true. Supply and demand, like if you affect one side, it'll affect the other. That's the upshot of reports from over the holidays that California restaurants have begun furloughing workers in response to an impending statewide mandate that takes effect in April. At that point, fast food establishments will have to pay a $20 minimum wage. So they've even gone beyond the fight for 15, as it was called. This would be a 30% increase from the state's current $15.50, so they've already surpassed $15 an hour for minimum wage. The California example provides practical confirmation of the theories behind a separate Congressional Budget Office report on federal legislation that would increase the minimum wage. Yeah, namely that hiking mandated wages encourages firms to operate more efficiently by laying off or replacing workers with, say, illegal immigrants or machinery, whatever the case may be. So, there you go. This is interesting. Here's like a real-world example. Approximately 1,200 Pizza Hut delivery drivers got a very unhappy present just before Christmas because of this. Two franchisees told them they would lose their jobs to the higher minimum wage. In a notice to federal authorities publicizing the layoffs, the federal authorities, that's a little odd, the franchisees said they had made a business decision to eliminate first-party delivery services. So they're going with like Grubhub or something like that. As a result, the elimination of all delivery driver positions. Yeah, it goes on to say just what I said. They're going with DoorDash, Uber Eats, etc. and making paying the drivers their problem. Which, yeah, I don't... We've discussed this many times on the show that whenever you increase the minimum wage, it only very temporarily helps the people that are in those jobs. What quickly happens is the price of everything goes up because minimum wage workers are kind of involved in many steps of this supply chain for almost all goods and services. So that money has to come from somewhere. So it comes from everybody. So it's basically a pay cut to everybody is what ends up happening. Everything becomes more expensive. So everybody pays more for stuff. And then very quickly they're looking, almost immediately at, let's do another wage increase. And it's like, did you not learn? I certainly do hope that the feds learn from some of this and keep their hands out of it. I personally would be fully support a measure that would strike down minimum wage. I think wages should be negotiated between employers and employees. The end. One thing that's not often discussed, and I've brought it up a couple of times, is because of the minimum wage, you could, and I'm not saying that this is happening, but you just don't know because the minimum wage exists. If it wasn't there, there potentially are some jobs and some employees that could get paid more, but they're automatically looked at as this is a minimum wage thing, so their wages are kept at whatever that is, which has been obviously set by the government instead of negotiated between the employees and the employer. So, yeah, interesting. All right, well, and then our last two stories are both in the Southwest, first in Arizona. Carrie Lake, who ran for governor unsuccessfully in 2020, I guess it depends on who you ask. Unsuccessfully because she did not end up being inaugurated as the governor. But much like with the presidential election, a lot of people call shenanigans and said there was some fishy stuff going on. One county in particular, I think, is Maricopa County. I've seen photographic evidence that ballots were printed the wrong size to be scanned by the machines. A number of other things happened that mostly affected people that were voting in person, which mostly affected one party in particular. So she challenged that, was unsuccessful with her court challenges. I think kind of ran out of money for continuing that fight, which happens especially when you're paying lawyers because they're not cheap. Anyways, now she's running for Senate, and she's still kind of considered a controversial figure, I suppose, in Arizona politics, including with the Arizona Republican Party, which, by the way, a lot of people draw party things. There were Republicans in on trying to keep her out, for sure. Keep in mind, this is kind of the McCain Republican Party. That's where he was from, or at least where he lived when he was in the Senate. And I wouldn't quite call McCain a solid conservative. I'll put it that way. Apparently, the chair of the Republican Party for the state of Arizona was caught on tape by Carrie Lake, I'm sure, trying to bribe her to discontinue her run for Senate. So let's have a listen.
Is there a number at which
I can be bought?
Can be bought.
Which
is what it's about.
You can take a pause.
By the way, The way she answers some of these things and some of the language she uses is a pretty clear indication that she obviously knows this is being recorded. I'm pretty sure Arizona, much like Colorado, is a one-party, what they call a one-party consent state. So as long as one person involved in a conversation or interaction knows that it's being recorded and has consented to the recording, it can be used in court, it can be published, all that stuff. So, yeah, some of the language she uses kind of seems like it should have tipped this jerk off.
For a couple of years.
No.
Let me go right back to what you're doing.
No. 10 million, 20 million, 30, no. A billion, no. This is not about money. This is about our country.
That's a little...
I think it's disturbing that they would even... That anybody would think this is...
No, to be fair, even me, I'll say this. I want a fresh face right now for the reason that I've never seen anyone... I can't think of a single person... in a federal race, who lost, ran in and won. Mm-hmm. Can't think of it. If you can think of it, let me know.
I am not going to let these people who hate our country tell me not to run. You should call them and tell them to get behind me. So what's going on? What is? I'm assuming this is our friend.
This is back east.
So they're talking donors. Which, by the way, back east. This also speaks to a problem. I mean, it just continues, you know, we're not going to listen to 6 minutes of this, but it continues like this. Dude is, from what I understand, resigned. However, the problem here is that bribery is still a crime. So I don't think resigning is going to get him out of this hot water. I'm pretty sure the tape came out directly from her campaign. She immediately was like, look, the guy from our own party is trying to bribe me not to run. This is the kind of shit we're facing. But that comment about back east, here's a problem where, you know, obviously if they're from back east, people who don't even live in Arizona are getting to impact through money the Arizona election, because what they're talking about, I presume. And, you know, and they probably try to keep it legal. It's going to be a campaign donation. If you stop campaigning, which, by the way, like, how does that work? I guess they mean come back the next cycle where a Senate election happens, the next term or whatever. But that's kind of silly. I forget what the term limits are for. Or not term limits, the terms are for senators. So, I had a friend who, and I think this is brilliant. The way he put it was, he didn't think there should be limits on campaign contributions at all, meaning dollar amount limits. He believed the limit should be, if you're not in a position to vote in a certain election, you shouldn't be able to donate to candidates or issues within that election, which I'm like, yeah, that's brilliant. That keeps, say, California people out of Colorado elections. It keeps New York people out of Arizona elections in terms of campaign contributions. I would love to see something like that happen. You know, because there is a lot of people that aren't even people that can't even vote in certain elections contributing tons of money to the candidates or causes that they want. Which that's not how that should be. So, I mean, good on her for having the foresight to record this. I'm guessing either she's recording everybody that she talks to, which, okay, or she has had some interactions with this particular person that make her suspicious and wanting to have things on tape. So she did. But I think it's great that this is out, that you're, you know, kind of like with Javier Milei last week, confronting the den of vipers. I love that. So good for Carrie Lake on putting this out here and, you know, taping this stuff. I think that's awesome. I think it needs, things like this need to come out. We need to know about this kind of stuff, these kind of shenanigans when it comes to our democracy, So awesome. Uh-oh, I closed a tab that I didn't mean to. Let's see if I can get it back.
Is there a number at which...
Oop, it's playing that video again.
That's what it's about.
You can take a pause for a couple of years.
Let's see. Nope. Uh-oh. Well, I will have to find this then. Because I definitely want to cover this. It's positive I kept that. Apparently not. Well, hopefully YouTube will play this video, or maybe I'll just look for the news story. Here we go. This is out of El Paso, Texas, where I don't know if you saw last week. The governor there, well, it's been a little more, last week was a ruling, but prior to that, the governor had some state law enforcement, including the National Guard, seize, it's referred to as a park in Eagle Pass, Texas, which is a big illegal immigration spot. So they took control of the area. They put up these, like shipping containers with razor wire on top of them and I guess razor wire in general and some other places. The Supreme Court ruled in essence, trying to remember the exact wording, but basically ruled that the Border Patrol could cut the wire, which think about this. The Border Patrol wants to cut this wire to allow illegal immigration. The Border Patrol, whose job is to patrol and apparently do nothing at the border. I mean, what are we doing here? So anyways, the governor there, Abbott, basically said, go fuck yourself. Although he was much more eloquent in this letter that he wrote, or memo, whatever it is. Basically saying that, they're not going to follow this order. And in fact, as we'll get to here in a second, we're going to show some video. Let me pop this up. Where they put up more razor wire. Hopefully this will play.
Well, Texas Governor Greg Abbott is pushing back and adding even more razor wire to the border fence.
And this comes after the Supreme Court ruled yesterday that the Border Patrol can start to remove that razor wire from the southern border. KFOX 14 News at 9's Jacqueline Quinones joins us from the U.S.-Mexico border, where some of that wire has been installed, showing us what's next in this escalating showdown.
So far, Border Patrol has not cut down any of this razor wire. As you can see right behind me, the CBP chief says he has no timetable of when that will happen. Meanwhile, Governor Greg Abbott says he will not back down despite the Supreme Court's ruling, and he will continue to secure the border the way he wants to.
What Governor Abbott is doing is not just unconstitutional, and it's not just harmful to very vulnerable people, but it is impairing the border.
So I'm going to pause that. I don't disagree with that statement about the constitutionality, because the Constitution does say that borders and immigration are the purview of the feds and not the states. But what is the recourse when the feds don't do their job? We have laws that say you can't just cross wherever you feel like. There are only certain circumstances where you can cross. You know what I mean? There's a process if you're going to immigrate here. And if you're not going to follow that, the law enforcement should be enforcing the fucking law. Here's another thing that's interesting that's part of this. I guess Texas passed a law that said that basically illegally immigrating into Texas is I forget how they worded it, but if you're not following immigration law and you end up in Texas, that is a felony under the state law now, which that's also being challenged, I guess, will probably eventually hit the Supreme Court. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't disagree. Like I said, I don't disagree that border enforcement is the purview of the federal government. But what's supposed to happen when they don't do their job? Are states supposed to just let it happen? Now, another interesting thing that's happening that I read about, a bunch of counties in Texas are declaring, I forget how they worded it. I don't think it's a state of emergency, but they're declaring that they're being invaded, like officially, because the Constitution says, this is something interesting, that only the federal government can engage in war. The exception being if a state is being invaded, then the state can go to war on its own behalf. This is part of some of those post-Civil War amendments to the Constitution, of course. So I don't know if they all officially declare that they're being invaded. We'll see. This could get pretty interesting. Of course, you know, there's people rumbling about possibility of civil war. This is also shortly after. Some groups have started working on getting a Texas secession bill through, although that hasn't happened yet. I'm not sure where it stands, but it could. So we'll see. Very interesting, as the German guy from Laughing would say. Well, with that, let's move on to some cool.
Dan is a contractor. He's the guy people turn to for bigger, better, or just plain brand new space. Where does he shop for his tools? Acme, home of the best brands in the business. After all, Dan knows your work is only as good as your tools. Acme Tools. Do your best work.
At acmetools.mantoolsmedia.com.
For our family, we had enough Valley food storage to last us for 3 months. And I cannot tell you, as a mom, the peace of mind that brings you, knowing that my family is going to be taken care of in bed. It was one of the best things that I've done for my family. And I want to let people know so they can be a little better prepared next time.
In a world full of endless information, it's hard to understand who or what to believe in anymore. But we can rely on our families, friends, and community. We can trust them and we can believe in them. Why would we be any different?
When you choose Valley Food Storage, you're getting food that is shelf-stable for up to 25 years. You're getting high-quality calories, not just empty carbs from additives. And most importantly, you're getting great service from great people who truly care about you and your family's well-being.
At Valley Food Storage, we pride ourselves on honest labels and ingredients because you deserve a company that you can trust to keep your family safe and prepared. We are honored to serve you and your family.
Prepare now at prepare.mantoolsmedia.com. Cool stuff. So we start our cool stuff with a test of strength between some, I want to say it's about four strong fellas and one lion, or more accurately, lioness. And it goes how I thought it would go. Now, there is no audio to this video, but you can see these guys, I mean, they're going after it. They're trying to pull. I guess it's three guys. And, yep, the lion effortlessly preventing them from gaining an inch in a match of tug of war. that's great. Another cool thing I saw this week, I love when family court is actually fair. It's very rare to see. Obviously, we've talked about this a lot. Family courts are notorious for siding with the women, the mothers. And it's nice to see when it's not quite that one-sided. I will say this is interesting. Some people will find this interesting because it is a woman judge. My experience in the family court system is female judges will basically go to one extreme or the other. They either will have zero sympathy for women because their attitude is, well, I'm a woman and I became a judge. What's your fucking problem? Which is, if you're a man, that's what you hope for. The flip is you'll get the kind of only other judge that I've observed are the type where they just, oh, what does the woman want? Cool, we'll grant all of that. So, but this particular woman judge appears to be just a logical, sensible, a little background on the case from what I could gather. This lady and this guy have a child together who I think they say in the video is 5 years old. The child has lived with the father from infancy because the mother got with a boyfriend who abused the child. So he rightly was able to take the child away. And then it might have been a different video on this channel, but I think in this they go into how the mother here, I don't know what job she's qualified for, but if this is the video I'm thinking of, that's also that, you know, because like I said, this channel has a number of these with the same judge. I think it goes into how she's working in a job on purpose that's like a minimum wage job, and then wants to get the child back and then have the father pay child support. So let's see how that turns out.
Child lives with him.
Yes, ma'am.
And you want the baby back.
Yes, ma'am.
How long has the baby lived with you?
The whole time.
Oh, okay. And how old is this child?
Five.
Five. Oh, the baby was placed with you after the boyfriend hit the baby, and he's been living with you ever since then.
Yep.
You've been taking care of him.
Mm-hmm.
You pay for everything for the child.
Yep.
What does she do?
I visit.
She visits unsupervised.
Okay, congratulations. Financially, what does she do?
Financially?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Oh, and you expect to get child support?
Well, when I get my baby back, I want child support, yeah. He makes way more money than I do. I want my baby back and I want child support. They took my baby away because my ex-boyfriend is an abuser and I'm not with him anymore.
Nobody really took your baby. You lost your baby for your own negligence. Yes. With your ex-boyfriend.
Yes.
You're the one that's going to pay him child support.
What?
Today. Yeah, you are.
Yeah. And the look on her face. because I'm sure she's the type of person that thinks, you know, child support is a paternal obligation. What, a mother paying child support? Yeah, bitch. Give him his money. And then finally, in cool stuff, we slide over something a little lighter. You ever locked? I mean, this is drastic. This is like a police video on getting a kid out of a car that's locked in, which is obviously very serious, without breaking a window. Which, by the way, I will point out, this could also be used to steal stuff from a car. It can be used for anything where you get into a car without the keys. So, with that in mind, let's have a look.
Doors are locked, and your most important item that you have is inside. Twist and pull. All right.
Ain't no way that's gonna work. My prized possession is locked in the truck. Whatever will I do?
His prized possession. I wonder if it's a child. That is interesting. Little square or rectangle, and then a strip across from the top to the bottom. And apparently you just pull and the window will come down. But and now you see what his prized possession is. So maybe not car thieves, people that steal shit from cars. Learn how to do this so you don't have to break people's windows. help everybody out. All right. That is the end of our cool stuff. So we shall slide on into some The Week in His Story.
The sawdust Caesar comes to his end in the gutter. Fitting climax.
It bursts into flesh. Get it started. Get it started. It's fighting and it's fighting. It's fighting.
Roger, Challenger.
All right, this week in his story, a lot of aviation and space stuff. I don't know if that's just a reflection of my interests or what, but we start with January 25th, 1959. American Airlines begins its first coast-to-coast flight service on the using the Boeing 707 model of aircraft, which is pictured there. 4.5 hours. Get from New York to, somewhere in California. I'm not sure which city specifically, LA or something. But very interesting. I think it was American that had, at least for a time, a monopoly on international air travel from the United States until Howard Hughes, forget what airline he owned, TWA, which it was weird because the airline was named Trans World and they weren't allowed to fly internationally until he challenged the status quo successfully eventually. But yeah, interesting. Let's see, January 26th, 1788, a fleet of ships carrying convicts from England lands at Sydney Cove in Australia. The day has since been known as Australia's National Day, which makes sense. Let's see, January 27th, this one's sad. 1967, three astronauts, Gus Grissom, Ed White, and Roger Chaffee, are killed in a flash fire that engulfed the Apollo 1 spacecraft. Now, they weren't in space or anything yet. This was a testing/training thing. They were in the actual capsule, in the whatever you would call it, oxygen-rich, pure oxygen or close to pure oxygen environment, which is there's audio of this that you can listen to, which is horrifying because they, you know, they're mimicking what they would be doing in space, right? So there's like an intercom to simulate the radio, and Grissom starts, you know, tries to be calm and cool, at least at first, but the fact of the matter is, in an atmosphere with that much oxygen, the fire just... Yeah. Let's see, January 28th, another tragedy in spaceflight. Could you imagine if these two happened on the same day? That would be fucking crazy. Anyways, January 28th, 1986, the Space Shuttle Challenger explodes just after liftoff. And of course, if you're around my age and me and Eric's age, we vividly remember... we watched that live. It was a big deal. It watched it in school because there was a teacher, Krista McCullough, the first teacher to go to space. And, yeah, bunch of horrified first graders. look, folks, if you don't laugh, you'd cry, right? And then let's see, January 30th, 1980, the first ever Chinese Olympic team arrives in New York for the Winter Games at Lake Placid. And I'm missing one. Not in here? Yes, it is. Okay. Let me pop that up. There we go. And finally, January 31st, 1976, Ernesto Miranda, famous due to the Supreme Court ruling that bears his name, Miranda versus Arizona. If you've ever heard the term Miranda rights, that's what it comes from. Anyways, he was stabbed to death because although his rights should not have been infringed by the police, he was a violent criminal. So, hopefully, I will soon be done coughing this garbage up. We'll see. But that brings us to the end of the week in history, which is also the end of our show. So, of course, thanks to all of you for listening or watching or whatever. Locals members, first off, if you were a member of our Locals a supporter of us on Locals for just $3 a month, you could have watched this episode without any ads. And you can get some extra things like, we've been gassing this up for a while, but it will finally happen next week. Come hell or high water. If I have to, I'll find somebody else to watch the movie with me, I guess. But we will be watching, doing our Man Tools at the Movies, at least the first part, for a movie called Police State. So get that. All of our members-only content. And like I said, weekly regular episodes ad-free for just $3 a month at mantoolsminions.locals.com. Also, you can get a free month using the code support free speech, all one word. Merch, check out our merch at merch.mantoolsmedia.com. Get free shipping if you're in our Facebook group and 20% off if you're a Locals member. Thanks to all of our sponsors. You can find them at sponsors.mantoolsmedia.com. Thanks to you for watching. Check us out on the web at mantoolsmedia.com. And you can get all of our social media by going to links.co/mantoolsmedia. And we will be back next week. Same man time, same man channel. So, what? Good night, everybody.